Hey, thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Glad to have you all along this hour. So you mentioned at the end of last hour, joining us now, State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Eric Mackey, and so much to talk about. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I know it's a busy job as it is, but obviously with everything going on, way busier than normal. And I want to just kind of go through a list here of questions I have for you. But before we do that, your sense and state of schools in Alabama right now and weathering this for the students.
Well, so we're doing okay right now. I'll give you a little bit of just a rundown of last week. So we shut schools down last week, and you know the plan was to have a shutdown over a period of 3 days, close everybody on Wednesday. The big challenge, obviously, was 724,000 students across the state. Bringing all those buses to a halt, making transition plans for how we're going to feed kids during the closing. There was a lot to be done. A lot of our school systems, especially in the Birmingham area, actually had to shut down on Monday because we were already having, some positive tests up there. So all of that is done. We began on Tuesday the process of reopening schools, believe it or not, even though that's still a couple of weeks off, because we have to look at what are our options going to be going forward. So right now we've got every school closed in the state. We have all the athletic programs shut down, and people are kind of waiting on edge. The unfortunate thing is, of course, this was going to be spring break for most of the schools in the state. 95% of the children were supposed to be on spring break this week or last week, and they're not being able to enjoy their spring break. Unfortunately, most of them are not quarantined, but they're definitely not able to get out and do the things they otherwise would be able to do on spring break.
Dr. Mackey, you said a couple weeks here. Has there been a decision made about, I know we're talking about 3 weeks, but does that timeline move as more cases come online in Alabama with COVID-19, or are you still sticking with the original 3 weeks? Where do you see that?
Yeah, it could move, definitely. We have had conversations with public health last Thursday night. Dr. Harris and I were talking Friday morning. We were talking about what our options might be, and we really just don't know yet. Our number one goal obviously would be that, hey, this thing runs its course, life is back to normal on April 6th. But I think anybody who's listening to your show, who's watching the news, who's paying attention to what's going on around the country, realizes that the likelihood of us being back to normal on April 6th is not very good. So we're making contingency plans for how we might be able to really close out this school year in what we're calling alternate delivery. You know, that may be some digital, it may be some kind of correspondence course. There are lots of options we're looking at out there, but realistically, we don't expect to be back to normal on April 6th.
Dr. Mackey, you formed a state education task force last week. I'm wondering the priorities of that task force. How often are you meeting, and what all kind of is encompassed by that task force? What are you trying to figure out?
Yeah, good question. So we met only once, and that was all by video. We're obviously, like everybody else, trying to practice social distancing. So we met on Thursday for about 2 hours. We divided into five subcommittees to look at different things, and I don't have them right in front of me, but one was working with the business community, one was kind of digital online capacity, one was looking at what we might do for graduation requirements, those kind of things. We then sent out a survey on Thursday afternoon to all the superintendents in the state. Last night I had all of those back, and we were analyzing those. Of course, as you can imagine, they're not all all the responses are not the same. So we've got different challenges in urban centers than we do from some of our rural communities. But we have that survey. Task force, first thing they did was help us develop the survey. We got that out. The task force will meet again tomorrow morning, again virtually, and we'll look at the survey results. We'll continue to meet throughout this week, and certainly the subcommittees are meeting in the interim, but I can tell you that we're trying to get, or I intend to get, a recommendation to the governor this week as to what we might be able to do after April 6th.
Dr. Mackey, you saw the announcement there on Friday that Alabama students won't be taking the standardized test this year. How does that affect matriculation from grade to grade? And then I want to get into talking about the seniors as well. So, first of all, what does this mean when they don't take the standardized test?
Okay, so the standardized test has no bearing on each individual student. That's just how we build our state report card. It's school reporting. Of course, it does give students some information, lets parents see kind of how they're progressing in the curriculum, but it's not high stakes for students. So it will have nothing to do with matriculation or graduation. Students won't see much difference. Let me say that I really appreciate the great support that we've gotten from the U.S. Department of Ed, Secretary DeVos, Assistant Secretary Brogan, who is a former Floridian, was state superintendent in Florida and head of the university system there, and of course President Trump, because they have said in any way they can relieve regulatory burdens on us, they're all about it. In fact, we've never had so much relief from federal regulation as what we've seen in the last week, and that was a big part of it. So it allows us now not to focus on test prep, but to focus instead on health and safety of our students and instruction. So that's a good, really good thing that the federal government has done for us. Takes that off our plate. Doesn't affect matriculation, and then you know, seniors are our top priority. I can assure you of that. We plan to graduate every senior either on time or very near to on time. We're not going to bring people back for another senior year next year or something like that. I've heard some of these people are worried about horror stories, but that is definitely not our plan.
How do you do that? How do you, I mean, graduate them without the number of hours and days that we've always heard about that are required? And I guess there's a chance to take those tests that they have to test to pass.
So there are no tests they have to pass. The only test we give for high school students are a test called Work Keys, which is a career readiness assessment, and then the ACT. And those tests have already passed. So we've done those earlier this year. Those are tests we give earlier in the year, so that's done, fortunately. Students will have to complete their work. So right now, what we're looking at is, again, prioritizing seniors. What are the standards they have missed? We only require students to meet standards. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to have a certain number of hours in the seat anymore like it was 30 years ago when I was in high school. You have to be able to meet the standards. So what we're trying to do is identify what are the most important standards, have students met them. And if they haven't, then what do we have to do? Maybe doing some online instruction, doing some correspondence course. What do we need to do to make sure they finish up so they can we can award them a diploma and they can go on to whatever their next step is next fall? And I want to be careful. Now, there may be some students that will have to come back and maybe finish a course or two in either online or, by correspondence, or in the summer. We may have some students who have to come back in the summer. If I could give you an example. So especially career tech courses. If I'm a student and I'm a welder and I want to get a job welding, shipbuilding, working in construction, whatever, and I'm working on a welding certificate, well, we can't just give you that welding credential without the physical hands-on test. And so some of those students, right now we can't give those tests, obviously. Some of those students may have to come back in the summer and do their demonstrated competency test to get that final credential. So some of them may have to come back and do some things like that over the summer, but that'll be a part of our plan to make sure that they can get it done in time to start a career or college or junior college, whatever they want to do in the fall.
Dr. Mackey, from the objective side, I want to read something from the subjective side, but this is got this text here into the station, but this is something I've heard from others. This texter says, I have a senior and there have been a lot of tears. We understand why there's no prom, no hearing her name called out at graduation, but after hustling for that honors diploma, things just bite right now.
Yeah, it's very tough. Now, we're hoping. You know, I'm always a hopeful silver lining kind of person, and it's more and more difficult every day to find all the hope. But mm-hmm. we really believe by, you know, sometime in the next several weeks that we're going to return to a more normal life. And so hopefully a lot of these graduation ceremonies can be held. They may be held in June or sometime in the summer. I don't know. I mean, possible that, again, public health says, hey, it's safe to go back and have mass gatherings by, you know, May 20th, 21st, when a lot of the graduations are, then we'll hold graduation. But it may be that they're still saying at that point, hey, you can't put, you know, 500 or 1,000 people or one graduation I'm scheduled to speak at in May. I think there are 7,500 people they're expecting that. Whoa. So that's a mass ceremony. And they may say, hey, we can't do that, but we'll have to do something alternate, something smaller. Or we just delay those ceremonies until later in the summer when it is safer. Of course, that's a decision we're going to work with each local school board to make it. And I can tell you, nothing has pained me more, aside from the obviously the true health concerns that many of our folks are facing as they're in ICUs. But beside that, nothing's pained me more than seeing so many of these seniors who've they've lost their final baseball season, mm-hmm. they've lost their soccer and softball seasons, their prom, as this person mentions. I mean, there's so many things that make high school a memorable and enjoyable experience, and I hate that those things have been put aside right now.
We're talking with Dr. Eric Mackey, the Alabama State School Superintendent. And Dr. Mackey, I'm really interested in the online learning, some of this virtual learning. Some of the teachers have been going above and beyond, great videos they've been putting out there for their students. I'm wondering, it almost seems seamless for so many of these schools to pivot to online learning only. Is there kind of did that come from the state down, or are we seeing a lot of these local districts do that on their own all the way down to the local schools? How did so much of that come about?
Yeah, most of that is ground up, not state down. So at the state level, we have a very good virtual high school program. That's called Access. It's been around for several years. And we've had students all across the state, rural areas, urban areas, suburban, using Access courses for almost two decades now. And of course, it's much more robust than it was when it began. So they might take one course online or two courses online. We have a few across the state. I mean, by a few, I mean into the hundreds who take all their courses online. But it's just high school. So what we're seeing, though, in a lot of places is really the locals have been able to reach down and do so much with elementary schools and middle schools. Now, the problem for state superintendent is that is not true everywhere. So we still know that about 60% of our students don't have a really strong at-home internet connection. That's not saying they don't have some internet, but it's saying that they don't have it strong enough that they can do like back-to-back, face-to-face learning. And so it is a challenge in many parts of the state, but we've seen some amazing stuff, like you say, teachers posting videos, posting lessons online. It's a different level, though, if that teacher's teaching a course where she can personally interact with each child back and forth. Of course, that's takes a much stronger internet connection. It takes much more robust platform. Now, we have some locals that can do that now, and so when we come back to school, most likely we're going to be in a place where different communities are getting their education in different ways. Long term, we got to think about how do we make sure we manage broadband and access across the state.
Dr. Mackey, we talked about seniors, but let's talk about second graders or seventh graders or sophomores. What about when they start school next year? I know it's depends on when they go back to school, but do you see a situation where in August they finish the year before and then start on the new year, or what will that look like?
Yeah, we're still working on that. What we would like to do is to give everybody an opportunity to finish out this year. Now, that may not mean finishing by May 15th or by May 20th. It may mean extending a little bit into the summer. but we'd like to see everybody finish up. So if you're in second grade, we want that second grade to finish all the second grade standards this year and then be promoted to third grade to start next year. And there may be some places and some opportunities where that just doesn't happen. So we may have a student that has a particular disability, and they really need some one-on-one instruction, and we're just not able to do that this year. So they may have to come back. We may have to do some things across the summer or even in the fall after school to help that person progress. But we're working through those issues right now. For the most part, most of our students should be able to kind of wind down and complete the standards necessary for this year. And then we hope when we start back in August to have everybody promoted and to be moving on to into the new year.
All right, Dr. Mackey, before we wrap up here, once again, your best assessment or kind of what you use to assess when you think schools will go back in. What is the measure that you're using with the state school system?
We are completely reliant on the Department of Public Health, and we're in touch with them every single day, but we're waiting for public health to say, can we reopen schools in a traditional manner where students are in the classroom, teachers are in the classroom? Can we do that April 6th? If not, do we think we might be able to do it April 15th or April 20th or 30th? But if we don't foresee that coming, then we will we'll be looking at alternate modes of delivery. How do we open school in a different way? Everywhere that's possible. And then last thing I do want to mention, though, we're going to give our local school districts a lot of autonomy in how they feel they can best meet the needs of their students. So what you can do in Mobile and what you can do up in Washington County or even further up in Choctaw County, they're very different because of the geography, because of the broadband access, because of how far apart people live. I mean, they're just different things, but we're going to make sure that we have a plan for every child in the state.
Dr. Eric Mackey, State Superintendent of Schools, thank you for your time, and I appreciate the information, and we'll be checking back with you soon.
Yes, glad to do it. Be glad to come back on sometime.
All right, thank you so much. Coming right back, we'll grab your calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Thank you, Kane. 829 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This is Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. I expect a call from Jeff Sessions here in just a little bit. Plus, we'll grab your calls at 343-0106 and front page of FMTalk1065.com. The 1-800-GOD-JUNK online opinion poll question. On a scale of 1 to 5, how quarantined are you right now? Vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com. Speaking of 1-800-GOD-JUNK, that's my buddy Trey, local business. Local business getting junk gone from your house. You probably had some extra days around the house to identify the junk. Good. Use this time to get 1-800-GOD-JUNK to come by and get rid of the junk. It could be at your house, could be a storage unit, could be at your office. It's a time to cleanse, right? And cleanse the junk out of your life. And very easy to make that appointment. Go online to 1-800-GOD-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOD-JUNK. They'll make an appointment time, specific day, specific time. They'll meet you out there. They'll look at what junk you're asking to get rid of. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it gone. So use this time maybe around the house to identify that junk and take advantage of it with 1-800-GOD-JUNK online at 1-800-GOD-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. Give him a call today. All right, coming right back, we'll check in Dr. Bill's forecast and the news. That happens right now.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's head on over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, happy Monday morning, Dalton.
Hey, same to you, Mitch. Some great deals over at McConnell Automotive. Tell us about them.
Well, I think times like these call for, you know, special measures, and one of the things we're excited about for everybody listening out there is we have got a special stimulus program you know, based off what this country is going through. And Dalton, it's real simple, man. You can get 0% financing for 84 months. And, buddy, I promise you, I've never seen this. This is a year longer than we've ever seen. And not only that, I told you off air, Dalton, you can defer payments for 4 months. So it's kind of a neat thing for people that are going through difficult times, but also want to take advantage of the difficult times. And, you know, we got some of the Mardi Gras trucks left, the biggest discounts. We actually are selling a lot of vehicles right now, Dalton. I think people just see this opportunity to maybe get a deal they can't get a few months from now. So now is the time to act. And we talked about online, man. McConnellAutomotive.com gives everybody all those details.
Yeah, you got the full inventory right there on the website. It's easy to navigate, too. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Y'all have a great start to the week, buddy.
All right, you too. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, or online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I want to do a couple things. Number one, we're going to come to Jeff Sessions in just a second. I want to lay out something that you can go back and listen to the podcast of from Friday when Congressman Byrne was on. We talked about one of those ideas in Washington being for small business. Now, you know, there were some big business ideas. There's a discussion this morning about how much Mnuchin will be able to do with money to work with big businesses, and he, by fiat, be able to decide where to put money. But small businesses and the small business loan idea, now this is, there's no dry ink on this, but that discussion came up that you would have a small business loan that would go out. It would be 0% interest, long-term. And this was the key takeaway. This is what raised my eyebrow, that the amount of that loan that was used to pay wages, salaries for employees would be forgivable. Now, we've got a, you know, a very expanded debt and deficit. We have a deficit, and we're going to add on trillions more to it. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other discussion. But in the short term, just from a small business person's perspective, to me, that's a big deal. If a business knows, you know, cash flow is slowed down a whole bunch here for a lot of folks, if they could get this small business loan and use that to pay their employees, and then when things get back to normal or some version of normal, those employees are already, you know, they're still on the payroll, ready to go back to work. It seems like that might be a way to flatten the curve the other way on the economic side of this. We'll see what they do in Washington today. And I want to get some perspective from former senator and candidate here in the runoff for Senate, Jeff Sessions, who's joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, you know, we look at this, and there, of course, there's two roads here. You have the fight against the virus, the medical side of this, but then you have the viral spread of a bad economy going on right now. We go from a economy that was popping to pushing the edges of recession in, what, a couple weeks' time?
Absolutely. It's been one of the more dramatic things we've seen, for sure, in the history of our country. So I think you're right about the small businesses. It's one thing to say a person that's a wage earner who can get extended and enhanced unemployment compensation. That helps him or her if he's not working. But for a small business person, who's trying to keep the business open and also doesn't maybe qualify for the unemployment, how do you help them? We can't savage, devastate small business, which also hires a huge percentage of the American workers work for small businesses. So this is a very dicey thing. Doing a huge bill like this, maybe $2 trillion, is so hard to write it. They just got to be so careful that they do this in a way that can be adjusted to the realities as we go forward in the weeks to come. But delaying, allowing petty politics to frustrate getting this done can create a lack of confidence and concern and even panic in the business and small business world. So, boy, it's a difficult time. I've seen these things before, but it is this one has got to be done right. We've never seen this much money have to be committed.
It's weird how you would have to, well, tough, and maybe you obviously had the perspective, how you navigate something like this, because people, there's a hue and cry for something to be done on the economic front. At the same time, yeah, there's going to be things crammed in here that are not good and not right, but if you vote against that part, then you're going to be pilloried for voting against the American workers. So does that just lead to bloat in these kind of bills that are being passed right now?
The answer is yes. Basically, yes. You know, I fought to get things in I thought were good. I was convinced they're good. I've also fought to keep things out I thought was bad. Then you reach a deadline, and sometimes it just goes. And good and bad and indifferent is in it. This one is so large that it's going to create more danger than you would think. I think the president was wise this morning to send out a tweet that said, basically, the cure can't be worse than the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned it maybe once with you before, but when you talk about we spend $4.7 trillion, that's $4,700 billion a year right now. That's our level of spending, I believe. And so we're talking about a trillion of that, a thousand billion of that, $4,700 billion borrowed already. And then when you do $1 trillion emergency spending, that's all borrowed. So you're talking about spending another $1,000 billion. And if it's $2 billion, you're talking about $1 trillion. It's $2,000 billion more. So the national debt's a little over $20 trillion. So you're talking about adding a huge amount to our national debt. But we're going to have to do some of this stuff. We're going to have to do it so we don't have this monumental, prolonged recession and so much pain out there. But doing it smartly, not overdoing it, trying to make sure that the goals of keeping the economy healthy and as many people working as possible is correct. I tell you one thing we don't need to do, I see. The House bill is going to extend the visas for people who are working here, 500,000, they're not entitled to have those visas extended. They're predicting 20% unemployment. And so the people that I think came here, I don't think they all ought to be extended like this. These are college jobs. The higher skilled workers, these are not geniuses workers. They're no more skilled than American college graduates. But they're pulling down the wages of American college graduates, and they're competing for their jobs. Many of our students have substantial loans that they need to pay back. So we should protect our people first, is what I'm saying. And this language, I think, has been stuck in the House bill, and it's not right.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter yesterday you talking about this, and I thought about when you talk about border security, it actually touches on both fronts of this discussion. Number one, border security to keep new cases, new infected people from coming in the country that have coronavirus, and you have, you know, more issues with that. At the same time, yeah, the economic issue of more people coming into a situation where, like you said, I mean, there is there have been predictions of 20% unemployment. I actually, Senator Sessions, I don't know how to wrap my head around 20% unemployment. I really don't. It's such a big number to come from the best situation for jobs in so very long to look at that wild of a swing is unbelievable.
It really is. But if you think about it, it's not a totally radical prediction. I mean, hotels are. Their volume is way down. Restaurants are way down. Our airlines are not flying near as much as they were. And you can just rippling through the entire economy. Small businesses have their profits plummet, and therefore they have to lay off people. So you could go from 3% to 20%. I mean, that's the Secretary of the Treasury,
mm-hmm.
Steven Mnuchin. That's his best official estimate from Washington, D.C., I don't think that's, you know, impossible.
No, I don't think he's making it up.
And that's why the stimulus package could perhaps keep people working, give confidence to companies not to lay off people too promptly and maybe keep them going. And if they are laid off, maybe an enhanced unemployment compensation to keep them closer to their working salaries will keep the economy from being as damaged as it might be otherwise.
I don't think it was disingenuous what Mnuchin was saying. It's just a shock to the system. It's not like things were bad and we were in double digits and we were going up. We were in a fantastic situation, and then it goes to this. Now, we go back and circle back to small businesses. You mentioned it again, and obviously that's key to so many of us because the voices are being heard from the airlines, right? The voices are being heard from the Boeings of the world in Washington. I just want to make sure, you know, that they hear and hear loudly the small business voices. I mean, you said it at the beginning of our conversation, small business employs more Americans than any other sector. And I hope because of the balkanization of all of us, we don't get forgotten in this.
That's exactly right. And we've got the voice is not as powerful as one big company that walks in and says they've got to have this relief. So you're exactly right. And it's a little more complicated because the small businesses, they're so different in the nature of your business. Well, you're a small business, then you've got an accounting firm, or you know, there are all kinds of small businesses out there, and trying to be able to help them be successful and ride this out without being devastated, without permanent job loss, is a good government policy. But boy, it's not going to be easy when you throw that much money out there. I'm just telling you, I've seen money, but never seen $2 trillion. The world has never seen $2 trillion. So I think the president's right. We got to be sure that our cure doesn't create another problem.
And what about that? What are other, you know, we're talking about the trillions of dollars here in deficit spending to deal with this. Other nations, aren't they facing the same thing, or are they doing it differently?
No, they're doing some of the same things. I saw something that said Germany might spend $600 billion. Well, how much is that? Well, they're about a fifth the size of the United States, so that would be $3 trillion if we match wow. Germany's figure. This is a stunning development. It's a catastrophe economically as well as health care. And I got to say, I think the government officials, they come before the American people, they stand there, the president stands right with them, and they explain what's going on. And if we can get some good improvement in the next 15 days, as the president says, maybe things won't look quite as grim. And, you know, a lot of things to me, I mean, we can hope, but we don't know. But if some of the new treatments could reduce by half or more the number of people who might need a ventilator, think of the cost savings and tragedies that would avoid. It doesn't have to be a perfect cure yet, but if we can start making some more progress, get the vaccines months ahead of what's now being projected, then that would be a monumental improvement. So there are things out there that we're just hoping, but we can't guarantee. We have to assume that that's not likely, and that's how this bill is being crafted, I think, without any Pollyannish hopes, but based on the reality of where people estimate we are today.
Just a couple minutes before we're going to break here, so I want to ask you as we wrap up, move the primary date to July now, the primary runoff to July. What effects right now with navigating coronavirus and all that is it for your campaign?
Well, we're going to use a lot more electronic communications and things, but we're working harder than ever. But my opponent seems to be, just taking time off. He said debating the issues of our time is the least of his worries, and he said, I probably won't talk politics 5, 6, 7 weeks. There's no reason to. Well, the country's got a challenge out there. You can just take 5, 6, 7 weeks off. Give me a break. The president's out talking about issues every day with his top team. We can't talk about those issues here in Alabama. The reason is I've challenged him to debate. We ought to have 4 or 5 debates, and he's hiding out from that. He's refusing to discuss it. he's afraid to debate. He runs an ad in the weight room and yelling at a football referee and says that's tough, that's strong. Well, I'd say if you're tough and strong, why don't you come out from behind your desk and let's debate these issues and talk about what's important to Alabama. So that's what we're going to be talking about every single day to this election. It is absolutely critical that Alabama send a voice to Washington they can trust, who understands the issues, that can defend their values, and at the same time protect our interests, like Austal and Airbus and Alabama State Docks and Baldwin County interests like the Foley Beach Express. Those kind of things are important also. I'm ready to do that now. I want to debate that. I want to talk about that. And my opponent seems to have little commitment to convincing the people of Alabama that he understands it and is willing to fight for it.
Jeff Sessions, thank you for your time. We'll be checking in with you again soon and talking more about this. Hopefully, we see the light at the end of the tunnel sometime very soon on this.
I hope so, too. I think it's possible. The Lord has always been with us. So.
There we go. Jeff Sessions. Thank you. Coming right back to wrap it up and grab some text here at 343-0106. This is Mobile Mornings. Hey, thank you, Kane. It's 856 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Let's run to the phones. Grab a quick call here. Robert is in Mobile. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Sean. How you doing, man?
Doing good. So just trying to navigate this. New news every day on the corona front.
Right. I want to get away from the corona, that virus, for a minute. But, Sean, I want no politician talk about the situation that Social Security is in. And it's going to explode. Don't nobody know when. A lot of people are going to be hurt. Why no one want to talk about none of the politicians?
Oh, come on. Because there's no good answer, because they've busted the lockbox open years ago, right? I mean, look
right.
I'm in my late 40s, and I don't have any great expectations of seeing full freight, at least, Social Security. I mean, I worry about that. Listen, we just keep adding on all this debt as well. At a certain point, I know there's a bunch who don't believe it'll ever be called, but I'm one that worries that one day they are going to call. And, you know, we're so in debt as a country, you know, where we go from there. I don't know. And how does that affect Social Security? I don't know, Robert. But, yeah, they don't want to talk about it. There's no ribbon cutting. There's no big rah-rah. There's no parade for that, you know. So, of course, they're not going to talk about it.
Well, what happened, Sean, the way it was set up, if they'd have let it alone, the way it was set up, everything would have been fine, but they wouldn't leave it alone. They went in and started taking money out of
right.
it, and we're in the situation we're in now. And people evidently don't understand that. They keep voting for the same people, but when it explodes, they'll see it in.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right, Robert. That is true. Appreciate your call, and we'll pick them back up coming up at noon today with Midday Mobile. Talk more about what's happening locally here. We can get in some of the health parts of it, and we'll probably replay that interview we had with Dr. Mackey, because it's pretty in-depth when it comes to schools in Alabama. What's the timeline on getting the kids back to school? What does it mean for them? Are they going to... You know, if they're in 7th grade this year, will they be in 8th grade next year? Will they still be in 7th grade at the start of it? What about the seniors and all that? We'll get that information to you. Remember, you can grab that interview as well, along with so much more, under the tab on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. You'll see the tab that says COVID-19 Local News. Click there and get those interviews. All right, for Dalton and Philip and the whole crew here, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back in 3. Mike Gallagher next.